broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 1st in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced that the brilliant checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers is one of the great restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. And a quick recap. We never got to Wednesday's recap. So we got Wednesday's and Thursday's quick recap. And then the show today. We talked about Trump exempts outfitters on federal land from Obama regulation. That's good news. Good for President Trump. Donald Trump also says Mexico and Canada, very spoiled with NAFTA. Boy, is he spot on that. We're ratcheting up. In my opinion, replacing free trade with fair trade. Good news. Again, we better be cautious how we go about it. But the idea to have tariffs at the border is a great idea. A good idea to reward the free market around the world. If folks are involved in the free market, that's good. Otherwise, we need to make sure that we set a level playing field. Good for President Trump on that score as well. Wyoming courts, they say they're trying to get cryptocurrencies to come to Wyoming. So they're trying to entice business with tech in Wyoming. That's kind of an interesting twist. All they got to do is get rid of the first state that gets rid of a property tax and an income tax. I'm trying to move to. I'll tell you that right now. Both unconstitutional taxes. We talked about a school district. Looks like they're going to buy an ex-board member's land for 7 times the value. Insider trading? Boy, howdy. We also talked about a man armed with a pistol walked in to an Oklahoma City restaurant and opened fire. That's the sad part. 2 customers wounded. But the good news is a handgun-carrying civilian in the parking lot stopped the shooter. That's the blessing. Guns in the hands of good guys, always the answer. Whether it be the cops called to the scenes with guns to stop criminals or good Samaritans with guns stopping criminals. Guns in the hands of good guys are a good thing, folks. We talked about turkeys having a currency meltdown. Investors are fleeing, ladies and gentlemen. I guess they're, you got what? Central banking going on over there, too? Wow. The United Airlines CEO, no regrets. Cutting ties with the NRA was personal. I guess that continues United's, promotion of the hatred of Donald Trump. I guess we don't want to fly United, huh? Mexican mafia running jail crime like an illegal government. So you got Mexican mafia in United States jails running it like an illegal government. It's hard to even know how to respond to that except to say this. Wow, why do we have so many illegal aliens tied to the Mexican mafia in our jails, huh? That was hour one on Wednesday. Hour two, Lombardo lied. That's right. The sheriff in Vegas lied. New Vegas shooting documents revealed that 3 women were found in Stephen Paddock's room. I guess they were tied to the room, too. How come we didn't hear about that before? The police in Vegas tried to cover up these documents, but court-ordered release. Wow. There's more there than meets the eye. I'll tell you that right now, folks. I don't know what it all is, but we're gaining little pieces of the pie, aren't we? Tennessee rep Diane Black, pornography, violent movies among the root causes of school shootings. I agree with her, but psychotropic drugs and a lack of God, family, and country in the lives of the perps, no doubt at fault as well. Irish students offered grants to fly home to promote abortion. What a shame. What a sad tale to tell as we stand for pro-life 24/7. No whites allowed at Georgetown University. I guess they got a dialogue going on racism, and whites aren't able to have a seat at the table. What a tragedy that is. We believe that we're all God's children, and we ought to act like it, folks. We ought to treat everyone around us with kindness. Isn't that what the Prince of Peace would do? Just asking. Donald holds an incredible rally in Nashville, Tennessee. I guess CNN and others lie about how many people were there. They got caught lying. There was a bunch of people there, big old crowd. About 5,000-6,000 is from what I understand. So that's a recap of Wednesday's show. Thursday's show, we had our buddy on, Mr. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And we talked about Christians facing intense and increasing persecution in America, sadly, oftentimes even at the hands of fellow saints. Now, James recounts his personal experiences with the Southern Baptist Convention. And then second hour, Sam highlights his involvement as he sets the record straight with the dishonest media. That's the show that took place yesterday. We're going to continue along those lines here now. Terry Colafrancesco is with us. Now, Terry is an author, a talk show host. He's founder and director of Caritas of Birmingham in Birmingham, Alabama. Terry, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Thank you. We're glad to be back. Interesting to listen to all the news you're giving us to retake, because I've been out of the country for over two weeks.
Yes, we'll get into that in a minute. I want to talk about the couple hours that we spent yesterday, though. This is a continued discussion. Christians are facing intense and increasing persecution around the world, even in the United States, oftentimes at the hands of fellow Christians. And so there you go. Have you seen a ratcheting up of this as well?
Very much so. I'm in Medjugorje again. I went to Greece, to Patmos, where the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelations. Came back a couple of days ago. And I heard a sermon today on the altar that was incredible. And it's exactly what you're talking about, Christians being persecuted by Christians. And we see this ratcheting up very much so. And what this priest did on the altar today is he quoted Ratzinger, when he was a bishop in 1969, of a prophetic statement that everybody should read. It is amazing what he says in 1969, and it's about what you just talked about. But in here, in the document, I pulled it a couple hours ago, and when I heard it from the pulpit earlier this morning, it's 3 o'clock here now in Bosnia, but he speaks of the future of the church, and he says, we will have no need of a church that celebrates the cult of action in political prayer. He says, it's utterly superfluous. He said, there will be a place in the church that will destroy itself. What will remain is the church of Jesus Christ, the church that believes in God, who has become man and promises us life beyond death. He says, and continues, he says, the kind of priest who is no more than a social worker can be replaced by psychotherapists and other specialists. And we see this in the church. And these are the people that's persecuting us, that are leaders in many ways and are Christians, just like what happened in Ireland with the vote. This same priest said this morning he became a priest 21 years ago, 1997, and in Ireland, 70% of the people were practicing their faith. He said now it's only 17%, and 70%, interesting enough, voted for abortion last week. So this is incredible what this says, but I recommend everybody to look this up. You might want to, Sam, look this up. I'll say it a second time later in the broadcast, but if you Google a search for Prophecy of the Future of the Church by Joseph Ratzinger, that's Pope Benedict. Later he became Pope Benedict. Prophecy of the Future Church by Joseph Ratzinger, 1969, on the Hesterian Rundfunk broadcast. It is an amazing statement because it speaks very clearly that we have people that would be leaders of the church watching the game and giving official advice, but not speaking in the name of God. And so they placed the church at the disposal of man rather than God, and the priests and many of the leaders and other people in the pew would be against those who want to be true Christians. But Ratzinger goes on and says, the church, he called, you know, he says she, that's how the church he referred to, she will become small, talking about the church, she will become small and will have to start afresh, more or less from the beginning, just like 2,000 years ago. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity. So all these great churches, these beautiful places, these edifices, we will not inhabit that. And we see this. We see it in Europe. There are abandoned churches all over the place. Nobody can have them. Or they can't keep them up because there's not enough members. It says, as it continues, as the number of her adherents diminishes, so it will lose many of her social privileges. And we see this everywhere, especially in Europe. The United States.
All right, let me see if I've got this right. I did look this up really quick, and I'm putting it in my show notes here. It's when Father Joseph Ratzinger predicted the future of the church. It's the forgotten prophecy on the future of the church, right?
Right. It's incredible. I mean,
all right. Hang tight, sir. We'll talk about it in seconds with Terry Colafrancesco on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, we're talking about Father Joseph Ratzinger, who predicted the future of the church. It's a forgotten prophecy, really. And Terry Colafrancesco, our guest, bringing this up as an incredible detailed document that you can look up and read and get kind of an understanding. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, he talks about the church is going to be a small society. She loses her influence, and the initiatives of the individual members, as they get smaller, will become stronger and more powerful. And yet, they'll be flirting with things on the left and on the right, and not those, but what caused us to be going into small social group, a much smaller social group, the essence of which is the result of what the church is doing now. because it has become political. And again, as you mentioned, Christians persecution Christians. Our resistance against our mission is fellow Christians. It's not from the outside. It's from the inside. And of course, that's what always destroys everything. You can't be destroyed if you're really strong. And what will happen as a result, Ratzinger continues to say, he says, quote, it will be hard going for the church, for the process of crystallization and clarification, which will cost her much valuable energy. We went through a period in our mission from 2000 to 2006, which cost us a lot of valuable energy, a lot of persecution. But what it did for us is what Ratzinger continues with after the valuable loss of energy. He says again, or continues rather, it will make her poor, the church, and cause her to become the church of the meek. So the early church was purified, and its purification made it what it became. And because of its meekness, it became strong. Again, Ratzinger, he continues, he says, after making the church meek, he says, quote, the process will be all the more arduous for sectarian narrow-mindedness as well as the pompous self-will, which will have to be shed. So all the power and the glory and everything we've had in the past and what we've seen in the church going, he compares it basically to the French Revolution, which paralleled the American Revolution, except it was where liberalism came in on the scene, and many, many bad things the world sees today came from France and through the French Revolution. So Benedict in 1969 is predicting exactly what we see now, and prophecy is never understood when it's given. You have to live through it. So what was so exciting to this, hearing this in Bosnia this morning, is that we're living this.
In fact, he talks about a great sifting process that will take quite a while to make happen, and it'll become a more spiritualized, a more simplified church based on service and based on ministering. It'll be an incredible process, a refining process, won't it?
Yes, and he says it may predict that all this may, that all of this will take time. The process, which is what you just mentioned, will be long and wearisome, as was the road from the false progressivism on the eve of the French Revolution. So I think it's very surprising, and really from the Holy Spirit, that you mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast about Christians persecution of Christians, because our enemies right now is our fellow Christians. A lot of the non-believers, they could care less. We do get from atheists and people like that persecution, of course, but the real danger is not them. The danger is within. So we have, Ratzinger continues on this. He says, when we have a bishop that might think he's so smart as to make fun of dogmas and insinuated that the existence of God was by no means certain, which we see this now, he continues, and he says, to the renewal of the 19th century. Then he goes on and says, but when the trial of this sifting is passed, which you just mentioned, a great power will flow from a more spiritualized and simplified church. Being in a total planned world, I heard this from the pulpit this morning. That's why I looked this up when I heard this. It's incredible. Men, Ratzinger says, in a totally planned world, will find themselves unspeakably lonely. And that goes to our electronics and our cell phones and everybody's social, and they sit at a table at a restaurant, they're looking at each other. No, rather they're not looking at each other, they're looking at the phones. And anybody can see this. Anybody can go into the streets and look what's happened to social exchange. We don't have it. And we've grown so cold that we only have what we care about, say from a distance, texting them somewhere, and those your loved ones or those who are your friends, you're not even relating to.
Amen to that. Now, the prophecy on one hand is very discouraging and very clear about how tough it will be in this refining process. But the good news is it says we still have our part to do. We must pray for and cultivate unselfishness, self-denial, faithfulness, sacramental devotion, and a life centered on Christ. That, to me, is one of the most positive statements ever.
Sam, you're in the Holy Spirit today. Let me tell you what was coming next. What you just said, you listen to this. I want to repeat that about the more spiritualized and simplified church. Then he says, men in a totally planned world will find themselves unspeakably lonely. And now this is what Brad Zinger says is really a compliment to what you're saying. You said almost the same thing, but listen to this. If they have completely lost the sight of God, they will feel the whole horror of their poverty. Then they will discover the little flocks of believers as something wholly new. And so by doing so, we become attracted, and it's going to be good for us, and it's not going to be pleasant, but it's the answer, because we're going to have the answer for all those people searching for the secret, because they're out there seeking through the electronics and the world and business, and they're not getting it, and the church diminishes. So he says in this document, it's certain to me, Retzinger, that the church is facing very hard times, a real crisis that has scarcely begun. This is 1969. Remember, we had the streets, we had the riots, we had everything. We had all the turmoil, the free revolutions of everything that was immoral. And he's saying there in 1969, we're just starting to face the hard times. So it scarcely has begun. So it's exciting at the same time because, again, 1969, and now we got the past and to bring us to the present to say this is happening. And to know that we're suffering from our own brethren is encouraging, because we have to be separated, made small, more spiritual, so that the people that are looking for the answers, that are lonely, that are lost in the world, even though they're Christian, that they'll be attracted to our way of life. And that's one of our successes in our mission. Sam, you've been there, you've seen it. It's attracted to all faiths, and even non-believers, because we've been purged, we've been crushed, we've been persecuted, and it's resulted in a way of life that many people are attracted to. But the way Christians live today, the Virgin Mary here in these apparitions here said, many Christians live like pagans. So there's nothing distinguishing us. We haven't separated enough to shine out as a body of people. So the purpose of this crushing and the prophecy Ratzinger gives, actually it wasn't a priest, you said Father Ratzinger, that's what he was at the time, shows us that we have to go to what the early church did. A small, tight, unbreakable core before we can expand back to influence the whole world. So it's a very powerful thing, and you have things taking place. You have, like you were talking about Donald Trump earlier, you talk about Trump just pardoned Dinesh D'Souza, who was persecuted for his belief and questioning his faith in America. And after he got really, after he's fully restored, his tweet, D'Souza himself, says, Obama and his stooges tried to extinguish my American dream and destroy my faith in America. Thank you, Donald Trump, for restoring both. Beautiful story. But see, he had to go through persecution. He had to be refined. If he's speaking truth, and anybody speaks truth, we'll go through what D'Souza went through.
Our clarion call, ladies and gentlemen, is a life centered on Christ. Our guest, Terry Colafrancesco, founder and director of Caritas of Birmingham. His website, mej.com. More in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Colafrancesco riding shotgun today. He is founder and director of Caritas of Birmingham, Alabama. MEJ.org is his website. Check it out. He's the author of a couple of books. One, They Fired the First Shot back in 2012. Incredible book, though. You got to read it. They Fired the First Shot. New book, Has Satan Pulled Another One on You? That's about mental disorders and drug abuse and all kind of things, psychotropic drugs, and incredible book to come out very soon. We're having a continued discussion with Terry. It's kind of a runover of our discussion yesterday that we had with James Edwards for 2 hours. They're persecuting the Mormons. They're persecuting the Baptists. They're persecuting the Catholics. They're persecuting Christians from all walks of life. And sadly, this continued discussion is about Christians facing intense and increasing persecution in America. You know, you usually hear it around the world in these other countries, but in America, and sadly, oftentimes at the hands of so-called fellow saints. It's amazing. It's a tragedy. However, it's prophesied, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this prophecy from Father Joseph Ratzinger, predicting the future of the church. A forgotten prophecy, if you will. Hey, there's going to be a refining process, and the political church will be no more. It'll take a lot of time. It'll be a refining process. It'll be slow, but what will remain is the real church of Jesus Christ. And we still have our part to do. We must pray for and cultivate unselfishness, self-denial, faithfulness, a sacrament of devotion, and a life centered on the resurrected Jesus Christ. This is critical to understand, ladies and gentlemen. And Terry, what I want to focus on now is a little bit about that refinement, a little bit about what we need to do, a little bit about how we need to cleanse our inner vessel and really work towards becoming the people ready to receive Christ. I mean, isn't that really the focus of our duty?
Well, what persecution brings us to is calling upon God even stronger and reevaluating where we are and what we've done, how we've lived. And we see what Redzinger said, that, you know, we live in this plan, this totally planned world, and we find ourselves unspeakably lonely. And his remark to that, in regards to what we have to do is refine ourselves, he says, if they have completely lost sight of God, they will feel the full horror of their poverty. And that's where we are. We have people feeling they're missing something. It's not there. And what we do is do our prayers. We fast. 30 Christians fasted on Wednesday and Fridays on bread and water. We have to go back to this origin in a fresh way. Actually, Redzinger said that. They will have to start afresh from the beginning. So we got to go back 2,000 years ago, because we're starting to begin to see the things that people really hate us. Who hated Christ? Who killed Christ? It wasn't the Romans. In fact, they were protecting him in several situations, and even on Via Della Rosa when he was carrying the cross. So it wasn't the pagans. It was what would we consider now, of course, the Jewish synagogues, and we would say the church, and we see the same thing happening. The situation is there. So Redzinger talks about that then we'll be crushed down to a little, that the people who experience the horror of godlessness will discover the little flock of believers as something wholly new. So instead of what the all worn out thing, that we're wore out as Christians, that our image, that we're not of Jesus Christ, if that's Jesus Christ by the way we behave, we convict nobody. So when we're crushed, and this little flock, Redzinger says, will be something viewed as wholly new. And then he says, they, talking about the people who are in poverty with no God at all, will discover this as a hope that is meant for them and an answer for which they have always been searching and seeking. And the church will start blossoming out again. And so going back to your statement about refining ourselves, this is what the revelations in Medjugorje is about, that you don't know, you lost who sight of God is. The Virgin Mary said a message in September 2nd, 2016, she said, remember, this is the mother of Christ. She says, my life was pain, silence, and immeasurable faith and trust in the Heavenly Father. And then she says something incredible. She says, nothing is by chance. So everything we're experiencing is a result of the lack of living fully the Christian life. Whether you're Mormon, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Baptist, whatever you are, if you're living in a Christian life and you're suffering because of it, nothing's by chance. So she continues about the measure of faith and trust in the Heavenly Father. Nothing is by chance, neither pain, nor joy, nor suffering, nor love. And then she adds to that an incredible statement. All of these are graces. You could say, what? The Mother of Christ is saying, all this is graces, pain, suffering, lack of love against us or toward us. She says, all these are graces which my Son grants to you and which will lead you to eternal life. So Christ wasn't spared by his Heavenly Father. His own mother walked Via Dolorosa on the way to Calvary, and she suffered. But she had immeasurable faith. She's the only, all the 12 apostles except John, was there at the foot of the cross. And so she had full trust in God, even though she was going through torture and a crucifixion herself. Although she wasn't on the cross, what mother and what heart could sit there and see that kind of thing? You see that in the Pieta, the Michelangelo cross.
There's no doubt the suffering is beyond imagination and beyond our comprehension, but at the same time, the good news is death was conquered. He lives again. And I think that's one of the critical pieces that we need to hang on to as the church refines itself and as we develop Christ-centered lives. It takes us refining our characters. It takes us replacing hatred with love, anger with forgiveness, frustration or denial of truth with repentance. And it takes us learning from one another. And I believe that the family and a covenant community, those are kind of the two components that are gonna refine this and make this happen. Terry?
What you're describing is exactly what happened in another church, covenant communities. They had to align themselves with people who had shared thoughts. Now, this Catholics, I don't have shared thoughts with. Richard Max, the Mormon, we have a shared thought with him. You can be in community with people who may not be of the same faith, but we're aligned in our thoughts and our belief in what you're saying. And it drove the early Christian into the community. And that's what we're doing. And that puts us in a tighter group and a stronger, more profound group that we will have the answer by the way of our life. People stand a witness. So being just in Patmos the last few days where John was in a cave and he wrote the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, which is near Turkey. He was talking about Turkey and its financial situation. We're at one point only 20 minutes from Turkey. The book of Revelations that he wrote, and sitting in that cave where it happened, is very, very profound. But it made me see things in Revelations in the light of what we're living in this moment, the tribulation and what we're about to go through. I can say very strong confidence that we are in a point as Christians, as believers, that hasn't happened since the beginning of the church in 2,000 years. But we've grown to a big, fat church, a way of life, and that's got to be thinned out. And a smaller, leaner church was shining out with this light to start everything back over again. So you might want to say we're being reset, Sam. And so
the interesting thing is they call the fat church, or when the church gets really big and kind of has financial, it's all about money. It's all about political. It's all about public acceptance. As the church refines, though, the persecution increases. It's a sea change, and we're starting to see it now. We're kind of at the crest of that height fat church going on, the gargantuan mega, you know, congregation and big money and big expensive fancy buildings, and I mean, it goes on and on, acceptance from the political world. And that is a changing, ladies and gentlemen. And the wheat was growing with the tares, but now you're starting to see an incredible division as persecution intensifies. Quick pause. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. You're listening to Sam Bushman and Terry Colafrancesco. He is the founder and director of Caritas of Birmingham. He's a friend of Medjugorje. And his website is MEJ.com.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Terry Colafrancesco with me, his website, MEJ.com. Ladies and gentlemen, to check out his incredible books. Has Satan pulled another one on you? The latest one coming out soon, folks. And they fired the first shot, came out in 2012. We're talking about, it's a continued discussion, if you will, about Christians facing intense and increasing persecution, even in America, oftentimes at the hands of, quote, fellow Christians or fellow saints. Even Fox released a report just recently, Terry, that I want to kind of highlight really quick. It says this, Christian persecution continues to rise. More incidents against women, Fox News. And they talk about worldwide, they talk about in America, they talk about in the sex trafficking rings, if they can get a daughter or a wife or a woman of a faith-filled man, then they pay more for that woman to abuse her. And to and they go into all these details about the 50 greatest abusing countries around the world to Christianity, but it backs right into the heart of America. As the more you stand up for Christianity, the more of a target you become. It used to be the wheat was with the tares. Now we're starting to see a very clear separation, and I submit that it will get wider.
Yeah, I would say that all the events happening here is to prepare man for what we're entering into. There's no divine intervention in the world. For 30-plus years, what's happening here in this village, Medjugorje, without a major, major equal to something like Noah and the flood. Not that that's going to happen. Of course, Scripture promises we won't have another flood. But there is something radically going to happen. And the church is going to diminish greatly. And every step that goes down that staircase of diminishing is going to be gaining a paradox. In some ways, a strengthening. It's going to make us stronger. And it's like, I think it was Vince Lombardi said, they asked him, how do you get a motivated team? He said, I get rid of the unmotivated. And it's, how do you make a stronger church? You get rid of those who are unmotivated to live the Christian life. They separate themselves, and that's where we are. And it's going to be a good, but it's going to be a bad thing at the same time. So often the messages coming from this village.
You know what this reminds me of, Terry? This reminds me of in Judges, how Gideon took the men down to the water. And the goal was to thin out.
Yeah,
and at first people are like, hey, what do we got to do? Wait a minute. We need more warriors. And the Lord said, no, you need less. And it's like, what? How can that be? What? But the Lord refined his people before that began. It's a similar historical, biblical repeating of itself.
Yeah, you're 100% right. There's 15,000 men ready to fight. They go down to the creek, and what happens, he picks the ones that lap the water out of the hand instead of those who went down and to drink the water in the creek. Because, see, they put their eyes down. They weren't watching for the enemy. Only 300 of them just picked up the water and kept their eyes up ahead, looking at what was going on. And so if you send in 15,000 men and they don't fight with fire, that gives emboldenedness into your enemy because they'd be slaying them thinking they're winning. But when they went to the 300, they were so strong, so powerful, they defeated a huge army. Actually, they didn't have to do that. They just played instruments, and the fear of God came on them, and they started fighting each other on the same side. But the principle you're saying is there, that if you're strong and you're very powerful, you can weaken your enemy that way, because they're like, these people are strong. I'm not messing with them. And that's what happened in the early Christians. They would go in front of the lions. The lions would come lick their feet, or they would do incredible miracles. And the pagans left shouting, "Great is the God of the Christians." It actually made more of those people who are pagans and Romans become Christian. And you got Christian Rome as a result. And so this is coming, everything goes around, comes around. But this is something not 15th century or 900 AD. This is something organically from the beginning of the church, we're about to come to the same thing. Cut the fat out, remove it. Some of that people will reconvert and come back into it in a stronger way, because as Red Zinger said, they will discover the little flock of believers as something wholly new. Even though we've been here 2,000 years, they will discover this is as a hope that is meant for them and the answer for which they have always been searching and seeking. We're bankrupt. We're seeking for things. We're seeking for the answers. And our answer is a holier life, stronger life, through persecution. And we see miracles all the time for what we do. It's a miracle that you came up and you started exactly without knowing what I was pulled up about Ratzinger, about the persecution of the Christians. And this is how God works right now. If you're looking to work with God, you and I had it before this podcast, and you came up and did a lead on this without even knowing it. And that's how powerful the Holy Spirit is right now for the people of believers that really want to live radically their Christian life. Not as crazy people, but we live it to the fullest. We're sinners. We fail. We have to confess. But the more we confess and the more we're sinners and the more holy we live and follow the Ten Commandments, the stronger we become. And we cannot be crushed.
And a lot of times people think, hey, Sam, you know, your radio talk show's not big enough, or it could be more, or it could be this, or it could be that. And the truth is, it reminds me kind of the lost sheep. We're seeking out those who want to come back, and we're seeking out those who will be true. We don't need the whole world. We need the refined few.
The community Caritas is 55 to 60 people. We have people all over the world following us. We're here in Europe, in Bosnia, former Yugoslavia, and I had two Scottish people come up today. I gave a talk here today to about 80-plus people. And two people from Scotland, formerly from Ireland, they said, "We follow you all the time. We listen to everything on your broadcast." And we're just a small group of people in Alabama, and we have people all over the world. I'm from Sri Lanka, everywhere. I just got told of a story of an Irishman driving in his car listening to a broadcast that he downloaded, and he hollers out to the window to the sheep that's grazing. He says, "Listen to a friend of Medjugorje," which is the code, the alias I write my books with, a friend of Medjugorje. "Listen to him. You need to listen to him talking to the sheep." It's kind of comical, but at the same time, it shows we're a small type body of people that have attracted a lot of people to start patterning their life the way we live there in Alabama. And again, Sam, you've been there. You told the beautiful story of Paint Me a Birmingham. And it was Our Lady put you there. Jesus Christ put you there, however you want to think. And but we see this, that it is a small body. It's not big is not more. Less is more. And that's why God's refined it. And just being in Corinth, where the Corinthians, where the church was, we had a guide there. We paid him a private guide. He was a museum curator for 10 years. He's very knowledgeable about Paul when he came there to preach. But the Greeks were ready for this. They were very spiritual people. They say things Socrates is incredible, virtuous, very virtuous. Some of the things they said is amazing, like hold your tongue. The quotes that we learned there in Greece was amazingly Christian-based. But their belief in gods and Athena and all these things really gave them a mentality. And when Paul came, he was so successful. But the way he was successful is not because he worked. In the scriptures, he talks about, I earned my own keep when I was among you. But what was it? He was a tent maker. If he was a clerk, he wouldn't meet people. But standing there in the forum where he spoke, and you could look out over the Corinth Sea, and then on the other side, you could see the Aegean Sea, where they would bring a lot of supplies, and then they had to wait for the other side to ship it out. Thousands of people came through, and all of them had to have a temporary tent that they bought from people like Paul, who worked for the company back then, 2,000 years ago. And so he was able to communicate to a lot of people through his work. So whatever your job is, wherever you're working, don't think you can't communicate your life and that people should be attracted to that. It's like Gandhi said. He says, I believe what Jesus Christ said. I believe in him, but I never met a Christian to make me want to be one. And that's what you were just saying. We have to attract people by our way of life. And a small group is the cell that does that. Christ started with 12 men, just 12 men. And he didn't bat 100% on his batting average because one of them was bad. And he knew that. He could foresee that. But Judas is a witness to us that not everybody's going to make it. And not everybody can hold up to be the apostles. But we're in a time of apostleship, a time to be an apostle, and you're called to be that, whether you be Mormon, Baptist, whatever. We are going to be apostles. We're entering into an age of that kind of time. So your life has to reflect that, not just artificially, but the way you live. And in our community, we have no television, no home computers, no cell phones. And our children, our youth around us all day long, they have good work ethics, and it's very powerful, and our kids are pure. They don't start learning about a lot of things out there until the 15, 16, 17, which makes them disgusted. But they got a real clear line of what is no gray line, in other words. It's black and white. So if they cross the line, which many people are going to do that, kids are going to do that, they know there's a line and they know where to come back to.
Well, we got to help people repent. We got to point out the clarion solution, the way, we got to do it by precept and by example. By the way, Caritas of Birmingham, ladies and gentlemen, is a place that you can visit. You can learn about their covenant community. You can meet them in person. It's an incredible opportunity. I've actually done this, and I'm telling you right now, these people are for real. They're believers in Christ. They set an example. They live, really, everything I preach, they live. God, family, country. The protection of life, liberty, and property. I mean, they're all about it. How do people learn about that and visit, Terry?
If you can call, get the phone number, talk directly. We've got like 3-4 people that answer phones. We have 100 extensions in our operation. We have printing presses, but it's also a way of life. It's not just that. That's the business side. We have a whole Graham-based life, but we have people from all faiths, people that don't believe. And we welcome everybody, and we can pick you up if you want to come spend a few days there, or there's hotels by. But and it starts with a phone call, or you can send a message on what we call feedback at the end of the articles.
MEJ.com is the website. It's three letters, MEJ, Mike, Echo, Julia, MEJ.com. Check it out, folks. They are living a covenant community lifestyle. Full of God, family, and country. It is incredible to witness and to be part of. It absolutely strengthens one's faith to see others so faithful. Terry, my friend, we're flat out of time. We'll have you back soon, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
Godspeed. Appreciate you, sir. Travel safe. Thank you. Terry Colafrancesco, ladies and gentlemen, MEJ.com. We declare this nation shall endure.